Paper.
Welcome to episode 76 of Paper Talk, a series of podcast interviews featuring artists and professionals who are working in the fields of hand papermaking and paper art. I'm Helen Hebert, and I run Helen Hebert Studio, a hand papermaking studio in Colorado's Rocky Mountains, where I create artist books and installations. I also host the annual Redcliffe Paper Retreat and papermaking masterclasses here in the studio, and I teach online classes about paper, light, and books, too. Find out more at HelenHebertStudio.com. Today I'm talking with Sierra Nevada-based visual artist Andy Tramps, who uses watercolors in wildland forests to create paintings and artist books that explore mystery, reverence, and delight, while grappling with vanishing habitats. Merging the lineages of illuminated manuscripts and natural history field journals with a contemporary art and science awareness, her imagery weaves intricate botanical detail into rich layers of shape, color, and hand-lettered text to evoke the complex interconnections within ecosystems of the greater West. Enjoy our conversation. Well, Andy Tramps, welcome to Paper Talk.
Thanks, Helen.
Yeah, happy Earth Day. We're talking on Earth Day. This won't come out for a couple of months, but I know the Earth is sacred to you, and I look forward to your perspectives and learning more about your work. So let's start talking a little bit about where you grew up and your time spent outside and how artistic influences of childhood.
Sure. Yeah, thank you so much, Helen, for this opportunity to chat together. I've been looking forward to it a lot. I grew up in the Oakland Hills in the East Bay area, San Francisco Bay area, on a little street in a fairly wooded area. When my parents built the house, there were only two other houses there. Now, of course, it looks entirely different. But when we were growing up there, it was a fairly densely wooded, unpopulated, kind of wild place.
Yeah. I have to say my mother grew up in the Oakland Hills also.
Really?
Yeah, but she was, I'm not sure if her parents built their house. It was a more developed area. Obviously, I visited it much later, actually after the big Oakland fire in the 90s. And we kind of walked around. I was with a friend and we found her house, which had been leveled.
Oh my gosh. So that gives me a sense of where she lived.
Okay. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. Wow. That's still
okay, go ahead. Yeah.
Yeah. So my parents were, I'd say they had a lot of creative energy, but they weren't specifically using it other than house, making a house beautiful, and gardening. Mm-hmm. They were both really into plants and gardening, just for fun and beauty, not for any kind of livelihood. And my mom had been a music major when she went to college. So music was a big part of childhood, and I took piano lessons, but definitely did not divert in that direction at all. It didn't take.
Me too, yeah.
I love having that awareness.
Yeah.
You? Yeah. Mm-hmm.
But, did your mother have a profession? Just curious.
No. Okay. No. My mom was a total homey person throughout mm-hmm. her entire life. Mm-hmm. She loved her quiet, beautiful home. And I have to say, me too.
Yeah. And what about your father? What did he do?
So my dad had been in a sequence of different family businesses.
Okay.
So I think one... I am self-employed, my brother's self-employed, my sister-in-law, and looks like my niece is going to be also. One of my grandfathers, or both of my grandfathers, had their own businesses, and one of my grandmothers had her own business, and so did my mom's sister. So my dad's first livelihood was working with his uncle and his father as a general contractor in the East Bay. And then my father and my grandfather ended up having a grocery store. And then when my grandma died, my dad took over her business, which had been selling tickets. So like entertainment, opera, football.
Okay.
Symphony. Uh-huh. ice follies, the whole thing.
Yeah. So. And how was that done during that time? Like door to door or?
Yeah, there was a little box office where I started working in the fifth grade.
Uh-huh.
And tiny little office with zillions of drawers with little tiny slots in them for all the actual paper tickets.
Wow.
That would be picked up and delivered all over the Bay Area for different events. That became one of my jobs in high school, to drive the tickets around, to pick them up, drop them off the day of a show. So it was really a fun thing, and I think very formative to have worked with my grandma and her three close friends. Mm-hmm. They were older women when I started working, and they just took me right in and trained me up on, you know, how to do a check deposit. You know, all that stuff that if you have a business.
Yeah, you have to do
a lot of skills to learn. So.
Okay. And I think you learned about the book form in sixth grade.
I did. I had an amazing sixth grade teacher. She taught us calculus. She was just a phenom. And one of the things that we did was we bound a book. I think it was probably 9 by 12, maybe even a little bigger.
Mm-hmm.
We just used paste. It's very crackly, but I still have it somewhere. Mm-hmm. Kind of corduroy around the spine and hand stitched.
Wow.
Pages together, created, you know, signatures and stitched them together.
And you wrote and illustrated it as well, right? It was a whole story, a whole book of your own.
Your own content, anything you want. Wow. So some people had poems, some people had nonfiction. Mine was called Andy's Fantasies. Uh-huh. Just little stories, you know, with mice and then drawn mice or whatever. There's a bunch of them.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Oh, wonderful.
And then the other thing about books in childhood is that one of my grandmas always gave us the Caldecott and Newbery award-winning books. So we were exposed throughout childhood to a lot of reading and taking in of books, sitting in laps and having that sort of special, intimate experience of before you could even read, of just the pleasure of the object of the book. And its specialness. And then, of course, that morphing later into just your own falling into other worlds through the book form.
Right. And you mentioned this is you and your brother, right?
Yes. Yes.
Younger or older?
Younger, just by about a year and a half, very close in age. And, you know, I'm older, maybe by the time we were 9, we were equal in size, and then he shot past me. So, you know, physically we were peers pretty early on, and I'd say emotionally became peers probably in college. We were actually college roommates, but he was my sidekick for roaming around the hillsides and forests where we grew up.
Right. Yeah. So I wanted to get back to that and tell me a little bit about that. And I have this childhood memory of going to visit one of my mother's high school friends, so in Oakland, Berkeley, somewhere. And it may have even been another town, but, you know, my mother and her friend hung out, and I was maybe 12 or 13, and she had a daughter similar in age. And I remember going into the woods, and that we could climb from tree branch to tree branch. It was so dense, and there were enough branches that you could just stay up off of the floor.
Yeah.
And it was so cool.
Yeah, it is. It's kind of the East Bay Hills that span Albany, Berkeley, Oakland, down into San Leandro and Hayward and beyond. There was a regional park district and water district established really early on. So there's this huge expanse of open space. So we could walk, you know, through some neighborhoods and then enter into those open spaces. And yeah, the trees are amazing. Monterey pines, Monterey cypress, a lot of eucalyptus that had been planted that I think have been eradicated quite a bit now. Mm-hmm. Lots of oak trees. And yeah, we did that too. Hopped from tree to tree, and we had swings and
Cool.
Part of the world. Mm-hmm.
And so, tell me about your college experience and sort of how things developed.
Yeah, well, before that, I have to say high school. So I had some amazing teachers throughout my education. I was very fortunate. California at the time was number one in the country for its rating for education, public education. Now it's like in the 40s, I think. Really bad. Wow. Anyway, I was lucky.
Yeah.
And in high school, the first Earth Day happened, 1970.
Oh.
I was a senior and I made the poster for my high school, which has a poppy and a redwood tree on it. And it's, I posted it on Instagram last year. I'll repost it today.
Oh, cool.
So I just mentioned that because, you know, I was making a poster, I was doing art, I was illustrating plants and trees, and I was learning about environmental politics and the topics of the day. It was, you know, being in the Bay Area in California, it was really a prevalent topic of discussion already. That's why there was Earth Day.
Right. And tell me when you got started drawing and painting. Was that younger?
Yeah, I was, I mean, some of my earliest memories are taking coloring books outside and sitting on the ground and coloring and writing onto the colorings or coloring over the writing, just, you know, having those two things come together as they do in a lot of coloring books. There's a story being told. And so I would add my own words. And so that morphed into a love of diaries and keeping journals and calendars. And then eventually that sort of morphed into field journals and sketchbooks and taking those outside. When I went camping with my brother, I would always have art supplies and sketchbooks with me. And for a very long time, I would write in one from one direction, and then I would flip it like a flip book, and that's where the drawing and painting would go. So for a while, I sequestered those things, and then eventually that barrier dissolved.
Right.
Yeah.
Oh, that's interesting.
And then in college, I was really fortunate to have, I was in the art department. That's what my official degree is in. I went to UC Berkeley. The art department was at the time very abstract expressionist oriented, and I was drawing pictures basically. I didn't really fit in very well, but I found my way into the design department and they had a year-long course. And my professor there really early into the game recognized that I was doing something that I could actually be employed doing, which is scientific illustration. So he really gave me free rein to study and do projects independently. He'd give me prompts. I didn't have to do what everybody else was doing unless I wanted to. He was very supportive of me developing an independent practice. And that was really cool.